In that day, declares the Lord, I will assemble the lame and gather those who have been driven away and those whom I have afflicted. What a kingdom that God has in store, isn't it? It kind of reminds me of those who are, if you remember, the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and the Isle of Misfit Toys that was guarded by the Charlie in the Box and reigned over by the Winged Lion. The lion rules over those that, the boat that can't float, the train with the square wheels, the spotted elephant, and a whole group of other misfits that had absolutely no purpose. They were damaged goods, they were rejected, and forlorn in their exile, just like a colony of lepers. So too is the kingdom of God, isn't it? In many ways, anyway. In this kingdom of God that's fulfilled in Christ are the lame, the halting, the wearied from the journey back and forth between faith and non-belief. Those who have been afflicted and have been disciplined at the hand of the Lord, sometimes even severely, like those who had been exiled into Babylon and delivered over to the hands of the oppressors. In the kingdom of God, there are not kings, the high status, those that were filled with their own self-importance and self-absorbed, but instead we find those who are really a motley crew of the downtrodden, the humbled, the broken, the ragtag collection of misfits, totally unworthy to come into the kingdom founded and paid for by the blood of Christ. Yet this is exactly who you and I are. But we've been assured because of eternal election that we have a place at the eschatological feast of the Lamb that's been envisioned by the prophet. Imagine for a moment that you were on U.S. Airways flight number 1549 this past January that crashed into the Hudson River. It was a day that was 18 degrees. The water in the Hudson was about 35. Picture yourself on that plane as it barely scraped over the top of the George Washington Bridge by a mere 900 feet. The sheer terror that you were feeling as that plane without engines was just really on a glide path to your own death. No engines. You were groping through the cabin once it landed into the water, wondering if, in fact, you were going to end up on the bottom of that river, if that plane would sink. You step out onto the wing in the shivering cold to the awaiting ferries. What would your reaction have been on that cold, dark afternoon in New York's Hudson River? Would you say something like, hey, Captain Sully, the next time you crash land a plane, make it in the Bahamas where the water's at least warm. Hey, I got out on that wing and I ruined my shoes. I'm too cold. I don't want to put up with this anymore. I'm wet. I missed an appointment. My hair is mussed. All my makeup has run. Would that be your reaction? Or would it be something like jubilation, excitement, gratitude, and prayers of thanksgiving being raised to our Heavenly Father? What is the attitude of those who have been assembled and gathered and healed at the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ as he returns and all things are fulfilled? How about us today? In each day is reason found to rejoice in and over something, or merely another opportunity to complain and walk around like you've been baptized with vinegar? Realize that in that day has arrived already. Are you not already part of the kingdom of God? Have you not already been made heirs and princes and princesses in the very household of God? Are there not blessings flowing each and every day into your lives, even in difficult situations? Are you not already partaking of the heavenly feast our Lord has provided, as our liturgy says, as a foretaste of the feast to come? Rejoice in Christ. You've been rescued for all of eternity, even though the road can be very rocky and very dangerous. The battle has been won, and you're on the winning side, the side of Jesus Christ. Yet when we're afflicted, when we're haltering between faith and non-belief, when the road is just too hard, when you're crying out like the man of the father of the paralytic, the demon-possessed boy, "Lord, help me in my unbelief," it's during these times that it's most difficult to recall the joyous life that we can have in Jesus Christ. Just this past Sunday, we heard about John the Baptist's disciples going to Jesus and asking him, "Are you in fact the coming one, or should we expect another?" Remember, this is the same John who leaped in his mother's womb when he heard the words of the Blessed Virgin approaching. What a change, but now he's in prison. And very humanly, he's doubting and probably saying to himself, "This isn't what I bargained for." But like John, take this one thing home with you today. Jesus is rich in forgiveness, long in patience, and had you, each and every one of you, on his mind when he hung on that cross. You will never be forgotten. You'll never be abandoned. You will always be able to overcome through him who is overcome. Through your afflictions, you are empowered to give thanks, just like the psalmist sang, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes." Yes, there's no doubt that in this life you will be afflicted, that you will be battle-scarred, and that you'll be wounded. But you'll be wounded and you'll be healed. You'll be crippled and yet given legs. You'll be blinded for a time and given new sight. You'll be deafened to the promises of a loving Savior, but hear anew the joyous refrain, "Come, you have been chosen from all eternity for my kingdom." Yes, what a kingdom Jesus has in store for his people. Maybe we're not the most beautiful. Maybe we're all misfits in the eyes of the world. But you are truly blessed as you patiently pray, "Come, Lord Jesus," as you're preparing hearts and minds this Advent season for that miracle we'll celebrate in this short period of time, the miracle of Bethlehem, to be revealed in the glory as he returns and fulfills his promise recorded by the prophet Micah in that day. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.